Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't writing nothing.
I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday to you wherever you may be. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. Got a big Monday program coming up for you here today. Let's tell you what we got on the agenda. Jeff Calkins is going to join us momentarily. We'll get his thoughts on everything that happened over the weekend. Pleased to announce that Eric Edholm will join us today later on in this hour, about 9:30 for Eric Edholm. We'll get into the NFL. We'll get his thoughts on all of the big rookie quarterback debuts, as well as some of the biggest storylines, including Antonio Brown and more, going on right now in the NFL. There's a Grizzlies notebook over at the Daily Memphian. That is, of course, written by Chris Harrington. He's going to join us as he does each and every day at 10 o'clock. We'll get into that Grizzlies notebook. Then we'll get some more Tiger thoughts from Drew Hill when he joins us at about 10:25. Drew, of course, did a great job hosting the program on Friday. He's going to join us at 10:25. We'll get Drew's final thoughts before he heads over to the Bahamas, as well as the Memphis Tigers heading over to the Bahamas. So that is what we have on the agenda. But now, no need to delay. Without further ado, we bring on the man that, of course, lends his name to this very program. He, of course, is Jeff Calkins. Jeff, good day, sir. How are you?
I'm good. It is funny. I was thinking about this. By the way, it's the first day of school for most folks. And so that's momentous in Memphis. The good news is it means football's basically here, right? And so that's good. And I actually think for the parents, it's mostly good. It is stressful. The first day of school, you will learn that someday. How do you feel about the first day of school when you were a student? Is there excitement to be back to? Is there? Like, it's funny, back in my day, we didn't communicate with each other all summer long,
right?
On Facebook and on Twitter and on Snapchat, on Instagram, and whatever. And so when you were back at the first day of school, it was really you were reconnecting with people. Now you've never disconnected with people. And so I think it's a completely different experience going back to school than it was when I was a mere youth. And then there was this blend. Yeah, okay, school's back, and you have your homework again. That's bad. You get to hang with your friends, and that's good. And then there's sort of this blend of a thing.
Yeah, because I was a kid with ADHD, and my mom was not really big on getting her kid medicated, I liked having a routine again. Because school...
You like school.
Yes.
You like school being back.
School,
yeah,
put
like
me...
You're a football player who needs once.
Exactly.
Once he gets out of a league and doesn't know what to do with his time, you like the regimented aspect of school.
Yes, and then further, like, for instance, then in high school when I was playing, you know, we did football during the summer, you liked school because that meant you didn't have to do multiple football practices every day. Like, it wasn't
right.
Just football all
so
day.
School was fundamentally good. You liked the return of school.
And,
you were pro school.
And, I mean, obviously a lot of my friends were on the football team, but it wasn't, like, exclusively all of my friends were on the football team. And while we hung out some in the summer, like, I don't know, there's a complete difference between seeing someone every day and
seeing someone every day. Yes, well, anyway, happy first day of school for everybody. It does strike me. So now, the longest I've been out of the studio, I've done a studio for Olympics before when I've been gone for 3 weeks, but it's weird because I'm on the
sort of track. And then I'm going to the Bahamas too. Memphis Tigers leave for the Bahamas here, honestly, just a little bit. But it struck me that there's a certain, so the elements of this track, the first part was taking my youngest son, who's, it's his first day of school there today, and I'm at Lausanne, and I'm not there even. So, to look at colleges, because he's going to be going away next year. The next part was, I then flew home to Buffalo for my high school reunion, which is another sort of signal, you know, another sort of big emotional moment. Now, not that big, not that emotional, but still, it's on that, it's in that bucket. And now I am at in Chattanooga, moving my second kid into UT Chattanooga, Andrew, and he's the one who's on the spectrum, and so there's a 2-day parenting student orientation that I'm here for. And then in the midst of all that, I hung out with my parents aged 99 and 95 and just saw what, honestly, like, it's funny, I said this on Facebook yesterday, I post pictures and I write occasionally about my parents, and I'm lucky to have them at 99 and 95. I will tell you that old age is no picnic. It's really hard. Like, as I balance with my mother, who's not, you know, she's not cancer-ridden or anything, but she's not in that kind of pain. But just life involves extraordinary pain for her. All of it. She can't really move. She can't really, and I mean that really truly. She can't get a cup of coffee. She can't change her pants. She can't, has hard time going to the bathroom by herself. She has a, like, she can't, she's really just sort of cold. You know, we push her on the wheelchair, and she sits at the kitchen table, but she's really infirm. And so you see that and see sort of how hard life is at the end. It's really hard. I'm not, as I said, but in the balance between pain and joy in her life, I'm not sure that it's a positive balance anymore. I think for my dad, it still is. But then there's also, like, there's funny moments and there's sweet moments. I went up, they sleep in single beds next to each other, and there's this stick, this just like a, it's like a broom handle without the broom on the end, right?
Yeah.
Next to the next into the beds between them, and I said, "What is this?" And it's the stick where if mom needs dad during the night, she hits.
I like that.
But well, he's deaf, so if he calls out Evan, he won't hear her. Like, she has to go to the bathroom; she can't get herself to the bathroom. So this is a giant stick that he hits her with, that she hits him with. And pokes him, and then there's really sweet moments too. My dad comes down every morning, and he moves pretty slowly himself at 99, and he gets a cup of coffee, and makes coffee, and he gets a cup of coffee, and he and then he brings it slowly up the stairs and brings it to her, and so she can have a cup of coffee as she starts to wake up in bed. And as someone who's divorced and won't have that person who was with me for a whole life, you know. And so that was incredibly sweet too. So anyway, the saga continues. Today is moving Andrew into college. Yesterday was moving Andrew into college. And you are back from St. Louis, and I am thrilled that you are holding down the fort. Because my saga continues when I come back, and then I leave with this team to go to the Bahamas. So I'm going to be back for one night, and then I leave again Wednesday morning to go to the Bahamas. Drew Hill from the David Nemkin is going tomorrow. There are a bunch of things that I...
By the way, Drew will be on the show today, this afternoon. Or later this second hour.
So Drew is going to join us. Yeah, Drew's going to join us just here in a little... but there are some things we need to talk about, and I want to talk to you about. First is the NFL, where over the weekend some interesting things happened, including involving some Memphis Tigers. Tony Pollard ran the ball 4 times for 16 yards. Darrell Henderson ran the ball 6 times for 13 yards. Anthony Miller got hurt, but it looks like he's got a sprained ankle and will be back. The Bears feel fortunate that it wasn't more than that. So for the Memphis Tiger perspective, Those were the three things that happened over the weekend. Any of that strike you one way or another?
Yeah, I mean, I know Jared Goff didn't play, but to me, the bigger concern is the Rams still look like they're in a funk on offense. And while, as you mentioned it, Darryl got six touches. I mean,
preseason game, that's not like that's pretty good.
Especially considering, yeah, the amount of playing time. Like that suggests that they very much want to get him involved in it. I thought Pollard looked good. I think they got him touches early too. I thought that was encouraging to see. Obviously, he's going to have an opportunity with Zeke being in the holdout that he's in right now. And then yeah, if I'm Anthony Miller, or more importantly, if I'm Matt Nagy, like I think Anthony Miller has proven he knows what he's supposed to do. I just think at this point, like, yes, you want to get your guy reps with his starting quarterback and whatnot, but it's way more important to get him healthy the second week of September than it is to have him running a few extra routes right now.
Does it bother you at all that Darryl Henderson wasn't more productive in his touches? I guess that's my question with respect to Henderson. Or is that just one game, whatever, it's fine?
I think
no big deal.
I think what it – to me, it's more alarming for the Rams than it is for Darryl.
Like, I see, for her, right. It's just an offensive funk thing rather than a Darryl Henderson thing, yeah. Well, and of course, yes, when Goff doesn't play, who knows? Nathan Peterman, once again, preseason All-American.
Mm-hmm.
He was tremendous. And then the other thing is are you becoming a believer in Daniel Jones?
Believer's too strong. I do think that there's no point for the Giants to play Eli. Like, I understand, like, hey, do right by him, whatever. Like, he's got 1 year left on his deal. You drafted a kid.
No, you play Daniel Jones. But my question is how much faith, because you were not a fan of the pick.
Correct.
Are you now a fan of the pick? I mean, obviously, if he is the quarterback of the future, that was the right pick.
For sure.
No matter how good anyone else was, right?
Yes, so, and I openly admitted it. It was the situation where I liked the execution of the pick. I just didn't – I like how they did the pick, and I like what they did with it. I don't love him.
You don't like the player. That's my question is, do you now like the player?
Like, he had the first-team offense. Like, it's very – like, everyone that wants to jump on and say this guy looks like he's going to be the guy – it was the first team offense against their second team defense. Like, you know what I mean? There's a huge difference between NFL starters and NFL backups. Like, you can look good against them.
I've never really believed in Josh Allen, but there's been moments when I've had more hope, right?
For sure.
So that's what happens to my. From the beginning, I haven't believed in him. I don't really believe in him now. But after, like, the Dolphins game last year at the end of the year, that gave me moments of hope. And I guess if I were a Giants fan, I would think this gives me moments of hope.
I think the brightest spot was he was not throwing to a lot of open guys. Like, he was throwing to guys that were relatively well covered, and he made good throws. And that is, I know everyone's saying, like, oh, that sounds so, like, simple. It's like, no, that is a big deal, at least. Like, there wasn't a ton of separation, and he was making throws and getting completions. That's a huge deal in the NFL.
Okay. And then, of course, the elephant in the room, Antonio Brown, continues to be crazy. A couple elements of this. One is the guy is just bat-ass crazy. Like, he got everything he wanted. He got a trade. He got a new deal. He got everything he wanted. At some point, he's just unbalanced. Don't you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest winners of the weekend was, like,
Pittsburgh.
Mike Tomlin and everyone else, like, in Pittsburgh that's, like, well aware of, like, yeah, like, that basically all the people that just said, hey, go enjoy him.
Yeah, and the culture is, and it'll be interesting, if the Steelers have a big year this year, or at least if they're back in the playoffs this year without Le'Veon Bell, having drawn a line in the sand with Le'Veon Bell and said, go ahead, sit out a year. Le'Veon, by the way, did not make up the money he lost. So they really, they are the quote. Now, Le'Veon Bell has 1,800 yards. They'll look a little foolish for it, right? But right now, I think they look kind of smart with Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
And they definitely look smart with Antonio Brown. I think you're right. I think the big winners of the weekend might well be the Steelers. All right, turn to college football. Memphis Tiger football had a scrimmage over the weekend, and Sean Dykes didn't play because he was banged up. But Patrick Taylor, this is it. You always hear defensive head offense, right?
Yes, especially
and
early.
And sadly, at Memphis, that has never been true for the last year. There's never been a moment even, defense is ahead or no. From the beginning to the end of the season, the offense has been ahead of the defense. Well, this was a defensive tour de force over the weekend. And so do we take hope from it? New, much better talent up front, it feels like. New defensive coordinator. And so the defense looked great. On the other hand, Sean Dykes was banged up. And for purely out of choice, Patrick Taylor didn't play, Demonte Coxey didn't play, and Joey Magnifico didn't play. So does sort of diminish the optimism about the defense. I do have optimism about the defense that it will be better. I'm quite confident it will be better. But what do you make of that? What do you make the choice to not play those guys? I think it probably makes all the sense in the world. You know exactly what they are. You don't need to expose them to injury. Isn't that simply as simple as that?
Completely agree with you. I've always felt fall camp is a very – I think fall camp for college coaches is way more difficult because at least in the NFL, there are opportunities to get your guys reps against opponents. And so you want to see kind of how they look in that environment. Whereas in college, like, you can't. Like, you are just playing your guys. You know what your guys look like against your other guys. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so at that point, especially when you have, you know, fourth-year and fifth-year guys like the Tigers do on offense, you need to see what you've got in the young guys. So I would bring them to speed as much as possible. You're going back to the familiar offense that you've run the last 3 years after you kind of retooled it last year. So these guys are going to be comfortable in what they're trying to do. And if it – I think so much of defense is playing with confidence. I really is. Like, I'm not trying to be super buzzwordy, but when you consider that defense is more reactionary. Defense is so much more reactionary. If this is another way to maybe get your guys playing with some confidence, like, I have zero problem with what they did.
All right. Moving on to the next thing, the Bahamas trip. Obviously, game start Wednesday. They leave here momentarily. Does it bother you, and should it bother Memphis fans, and is it any kind of a screw-up if the games aren't on television, or is it just life in the Bahamas?
I think it's
life on television, and they're not on television and on stream. I think it's kind of, I guess maybe it's easy for me to say, because I'm going to be there. I'll see it. And I urge you all to read the Daily Memphian to keep up with what is going on, but there's a certain old school attractiveness to this whole thing. We didn't used to be able to watch everything all the time, no matter what. I understand the frustration of people, but I mean, if ESPN doesn't want to cover it, and honestly, well, like, I understand that. And then it's not easy to just create technology to stream stuff. It's just not that easy, particularly when you're in the Bahamas to do it. It actually, to me, because the new TV contract, they're going to televise all kinds of things, right, on streaming. They're going to stream all kinds of things, the conference is. And it shows the progress that has to be made between now and then in order to get the technology up to speed in order to pull that off. But the fact that they can't pull it off on the weekend in the Bahamas doesn't surprise me. And I do feel bad for Memphis fans because I do know they want to see this team. But that's where we are, and I don't think there's any fault involved. It's just the inconvenient state of things. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually think this is fairly smart on Memphis's front because I actually think it shows a good amount of foresight because giving the quick peek back behind the curtain, the amount of bandwidth and broadband that you need from the internet provider to be able to stream these games, to handle the amount of traffic that these games are going to create, especially amongst Tiger fans, they do not have that kind of capability down there. And so I think that it's smart by saying, we're not going to broadcast this. We understand that we want to see it.
If you did it, it'll be poorly done. It'll fail. It'll falter.
And people are going to be even more upset. Like,
and just stay on the front end. We aren't doing it.
Yes. And I don't think it was an easy decision to make. I think they knew that there were going to be a lot of disappointed people. But I think it's better to say, listen, we do not have – I thought they were very transparent about it, and I thought they handled it very appropriately. They said, here's what we're dealing with. we do not have the capabilities to do this production, and therefore, because we can't do it properly, we're not going to do it. And I actually think that should be applauded, because there are a lot of people that probably would have tried to, for lack of a better word, kind of half-ass it and do it, and that would have caused way more problems for them. People would have been upset because at that point they think they're going to be able to see the game, and then they can't. And to me, this decision was made once ESPN decided that they were not going to be able to broadcast it themselves. I think the school was smart, and when they did their due diligence and realized, okay, we're not going to have the bandwidth necessary to do this, I think they made the right call, 100%.
I fundamentally agree with you on that, and I understand the frustration. But again, read the Daily Memphian. And the other thing you could do, by the way, is you could go you could make sure you're reading the Daily Memphian on a new computer from Cooper Systems. I mentioned it is the first day of school, and so people are going to be racing and getting school supplies. One of those supplies, let's be honest, the essential school supply now is a computer. Your kids do their work on their computer. It's just the way it works. And you don't have to spend a fortune if you go to Cooper Systems. You can walk in there. Maybe your kid's like, I want an Apple. I want an Apple Pro. You're like, I can't afford that. But you can if you go to Cooper Systems. Go to Cooper Systems, or maybe you want a Dell, or maybe a Lenovo, or maybe whatever. They got them all. And it is not too late. Walk on in there. Save yourself a bundle. Make your kid happy. No excuses. Just straight A's this year because he's got his MacBook Pro. And if you have any issues, Lee and Glenn and Cooper are there to see you through it. It is the place where I shop. It's the place where Andrew, I'm moving him into college today, where he shopped for his MacBook Pro. It's the place where I shop. It is the place where you should shop. They are in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Go see them there or give them a call at 360-9679, 360-9679. Okay, next. Sort of NFL-related, which we touched on, but Hard Knocks. So tomorrow night we're going to have Hard Knocks.
Yep.
And there is some thought out there that the Antonio Brown thing is the worst thing that can happen to Hard Knocks. Not the best thing, but the worst thing. Because they are going to be exposed as being a fraudulent show. It is not going to be a behind-the-scenes look at everything unfolding. It's going to be a sanitized, take out everything that's interesting. Because let's be honest, this is the biggest story in the NFL. If you don't have video and audio of it unfolding, what the hell is Hard Knocks insider look except for PR crap? I think this can, like, if they do not address the Antonio Brown, I mean, last week only fleetingly did they discuss the foot stuff, right?
Yes.
And now you've got this helmet dispute, and if it's not a, and you've got players, according to Michael Silver, grumbling about you know, the internal dissension about it. Where the hell is he? This is crazy. If you don't have some of that captured by Hard Knocks, what the hell is the point of Hard Knocks?
Yes,
it becomes Soviet propaganda, right?
Yeah, state-run media. This was one of my fears. I know a lot of people were disappointed in Hard Knocks, and to me, one of the main aspects of it is, okay, well, compared to last year with the Browns had so much built-in drama. You got to see Hugh Jackson's incompetency. You had Baker coming in. You had Jarvis Landry. You had all these personalities and whatnot. And so if you compare it to that, it was going to be disappointing. And so I kind of understood.
Well, it wouldn't be disappointing except for, here's the thing about last year. They showed you all of that. And I actually think the Browns came to regret it.
Yes.
And other teams watched it and said, holy crap, we don't want that kind of tire fire in our place being exposed. And so
that was my concern. That was it. Like, that was my concern that they
drama.
Were. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just as much drama in this camp, if not more. Like, this is incredible drama. But if they're just not going to show it, what the hell is the point?
There's no question. Like, when I watched it last week, and again, this could have been a little inside baseball-y, but for us, like, I've seen, for instance, like, when the SEC schools do their little, you know, their version of this, you know, of Hard Knocks, like, they're behind the scenes 30 minutes every week. It is state media. It's the,
we know that is. When Kentucky does a
correct
inside Kentucky practices version, we know that's sanitized. And the people who watch it,
yes,
they watch it just for the good stuff, and they just want a glimpse of you. But you know you're not seeing everything. It's
exactly
not an insider's view. It's what we want you. We understand that. Kentucky produced their own video, right?
Yes.
Every team's do this now. The Buffalo Sabres. I watched the Inside the Blade, Die by the Blade or something it's called, right? And I watch those. But you know they're not.
Exactly.
They're real. There's some glimpses, but it's just their version. It's just like reading a press release.
Yes.
Well, if Hard Knocks is a press release, screw Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
completely agree. And that was my concern last week.
Franchise. Yeah. I think you're absolutely dead on. Okay. Next topic. Tiger stock and withdrew from the tournament over the weekend. Does this, looking back, does this absolve him from his decision around Memphis? He's clearly not well.
No, there's no question. And absolve him? I think it makes it, in Memphis's eyes, that felt that maybe there were some people out there that felt like, eh, he just didn't want to play and whatnot. I do think it shows that, no, he can't play right now.
He can't play. Why the hell did he play?
It's a lot of money, and, you know, he had an expensive divorce, and, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got $500 million.
I've never met a rich guy that couldn't have more.
Isn't that amazing?
He has a huge yacht. I mean,
he didn't go play for money. Isn't this? He went to play. I don't know why he went to play. I do not know why he went to play. But anyway, I do think it casts the decision about Memphis in a slightly more generous, favorable light to Tiger. And I think that is interesting. All right. Two last questions. One is the Orioles beat the Astros over the weekend. They were plus, depending on where you bet, they were plus 420,
yes.
Which I gather, I'm not a gambling. That means you had to bet $420. I mean, you got $420 if you bet 100.
Correct. In a baseball game, that is a pretty significant underdog in just a regular season game.
I don't understand for the life of me. It's still a base. It's just a base. I know it's Justin Verlander, and I know the Orioles have lost, I think, five straight, and I know the Astros are the prohibitive favorite to win the World Series.
They got beat 20-2 on Saturday night.
It's just one baseball game. It's just, and anyone can win one baseball game. And is it really that momentous an upset? It's just one damn baseball game. And who the hell would bet this game anyway? What kind of degenerate would best this be? Bet this game anyway on either side. You honestly wouldn't bet. There's no reason to bet the Astros here, right? Because you're making no money. You've got to put up 420 to bet 100 and to go in 100. Is that the idea?
Oh, well, and see, with the Orioles being a plus 420 favorite, that meant that Houston would have been like a minus 500 under. Or, you know,
I see.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or
the Orioles would have been a plus 420 underdog. Yeah.
Right.
So you would have. The only way you would have bet this game is if. You were parlay. Yes, exactly.
Right. To bring the price down. I've learned enough from you now.
Yes.
Did you notice that I was able to say that?
Proud
I was
you.
Able to say that with some confidence. I had Anthony Sain on. We had Anthony Sain on last week. He taught me to use the word dope.
Yep.
This is really an educational program. He texted me over the weekend. He texted me over the weekend, and I responded with, "That's dope." It was a picture of a sandwich, a breakfast sandwich from Dixie Queen, And he said, "I nearly made him spit out his whatever."
Spit out his food.
He was in church. Yeah. So I can say that's dope, and I know what a parlay is now. Progress, not perfection. Okay. Last question. They caught Curtis Ray Watson.
Yes.
Should he die?
Whoo, boy.
Start with a light death penalty question here to end, right?
Yeah. I mean,
should he die? He murdered and sexually assaulted this person. Doesn't seem to be a lot of doubt that he did it. Like, this is not one where there's some incredible doubt that it was him. He was already a scumbag, goes to jail, murders and sexually assaults, allegedly, a woman, escapes from prison. Should he die?
I mean, like, on paper, I'm kind of the, if you don't, like, to me, this person is not exactly proven that this person deserves the right to keep going. Like, but, you know what I mean? Like, if it's just going to be expensive, like, the whole point of the other problem with the death penalty is it costs the state so much money to try it because there's appeals and whatnot. But this one, to me, like, I just don't.
This one seems pretty open and shut. Here's my view on it. This one seems pretty open and shut, right? Like, come on, man. You had the prison thing. You abused. I guess he was out was he mowing the lawns or something? I only followed this from afar. But anyway, so it seems pretty open and shut. It was heinous. It was clearly deliberate. It wasn't in the passion, the moment of passion. It was scumbag, right? The problem is you can't just pick and choose like this. Every time someone is condemned to death, there's confidence that they're the person who did it and that they deserve to die. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten the death penalty. And yet we know that innocent people have been killed. And so you can't, if you're anti-death penalty, and I'm not because on some, I do think it's weird when the state is in the position of killing people. I have a little bit of a hard time with that on just a philosophical ground. Although I do believe that some people are just evil mother blanks. The problem is that I don't ever want to. I just the idea of ever killing a single innocent person. And if you have that, so I do not. Sadly. Because I'd have that. I understand the need for visceral satisfaction. I mean, he should die. Sadly, I don't think even here. He should die. But man, it was drama over the weekend. That was something else. I mean, it was certainly national news, and it is good that he has been. It is good that he has been apprehended.
The story was weird. Like, he was, like, thanking his captor. Like, he's just he's a crazy person.
Right. I don't think there's anything else I need to discuss except for Saturday today. It's going to be a blazer. And I do want to tell you that over at Oak Hall, I went to the John F. Kennedy Museum the other day, and the sailboat is out front. And, I've had a picture taken of me, the ocean in the background, Boston behind the Kennedy sailboat, and I was wearing Oak Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And friend Charles said, you need to be on that boat in those clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's weird. And my old sweaty self, I don't think I would have felt embarrassed.
No, people might have actually mistaken you for a Kennedy this weekend. That's how good you look.
I think this weekend, I'll send you, I'm going to text you the picture, the Oak Hall picture. You can decide if you should tweet it out. But this what Oak Hall, yeah, I think I was practically Kennedy-esque in my debonair approach. I was at Oak Hall the other day. I said this the other day, and all the people who I love, they weren't there. And I was like, where are all these people who helped me find my beautiful clothes? And they were across the parking lot. They had a place where they were meeting with the Peter Millar designer for next year.
Oh, yeah.
They get their people involved on the front end. So they're not just selling you the merchandise. They're helping decide, all right, this is what people in Memphis want. This is what people in Memphis need. This is stuff that's going to look good on Memphians. And it's that kind of level of attention to detail that separates the place from literally any other place. And it's one of the storied, legendary stores in America. Forget just in Memphis, Tennessee, and the consolidation sale stuff over from Nashville. That continues because they have all new stuff coming into the store. We are starting to turn the corner, so go see all the new stuff that they have at Oak Hall. You're going to be joined by Derek Hedholm, Drew Hill in the second hour, and you've got Chris Harrington. There's some Grizzlies news over the weekend as well. I will talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you, Jeffrey. It's 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the 2019 92.9 FM ESPN Madden Tournament, hosted by 92.9's Jason and John. Friday, August 23rd, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Rec Room. Want in? Sign up and see if we draw your name at 92.9ESPN.com. That's 92.9ESPN.com. Bracket play, prizes, Rec Room beer specials, and more. The 2019 92.9 Madden Tournament from Memphis's Madden Station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
I got a cool thing going on at Triumph Bank these days. They're working with the kids from the Carpenter Art Garden. I say kids, these are teenagers who have been hired by the Carpenter Art Garden, thanks in part to a grant from Triumph Bank, to work at the Art Garden. And they're all making a little bit of money. And so the folks at Triumph said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to teach them how to set up a checking account, how to get a debit card, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. They understand at Triumph Bank that it's impossible to make any real progress on building a financial future without these basic skills. And so they've put together a team of volunteers, including the CEO, Will Chase, to make sure the kids at the Carpa Art and Garden have the knowledge and access they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. And that's how they treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website, triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue. And this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Hey, hon.
Hey, babe. You know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
You're a pro. You've got a bathroom remodel and clients counting on you to pull it all together. Lots of good reasons to count on the Home Depot. Find complete coordinated bath product collections, the latest trends and designs from top brands like Delta. It's easy to pull together an amazing look when you know where to look. The latest collections from Delta, in-store or online, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
How easy is it to find the best new hires with Glassdoor? Yeah, kind of like that. Post your job, and just like that, it's available to over 67 million job seekers. And Glassdoor only matches you with qualified applicants, so you can make the best new hire in half the resumes. Plus, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. Hire better, hire faster. Start your free trial today at glassdoor.com/hire.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. Producing the program with me today, Bennett Doyle. He's across the glass now. Pleased to welcome on Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. Eric's on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Eric, how many Super Bowls is Daniel Jones going to win now?
I would think at least 2 or 3 in his first 5 seasons, right? I mean, we've seen 5 throws from him. We know what he is. So, but, let's sign him up right now.
Let's start there. What did it tell you that the Giants chose to keep most of their starters, even though the Jets put their second team out there when they sent Daniel Jones out for his first series?
Yeah, I think they wanted to get him some first team work. I mean, the Jets had a good portion of their front 7 that we'll see regularly. I mean, the secondary was a you know, kind of a shell group there, a lot of second and third team guys, and they're just thin there anyway. I mean, they've had injuries, and they're just not that talented at corner anyway, the Jets, that is. But, yeah, I think they wanted, instead of just saying, all right, you know, let's go with the twos and let's see what he can do. He's probably had as much work with them as he has with the ones. But, you know, sometimes it's good to throw him into the fire, a young quarterback, and see how he responds, right? It's a home crowd. I know there's Jets fans there as well in the shared stadium. But I like the fact they threw outside the numbers, gave him some different looks, you know, moving around the pocket a little. I mean, it was a good first sort of test, and he passed it.
How long do you think that this entire song and dance is going to go on? Because even, you know, obviously I'm a little biased as a Giants fan, but I'm at the point where, listen, I understand the last time they tried to bench Eli, it didn't exactly go well from a reaction standpoint, but
sure,
this isn't a playoff team. Why would you not see what you've got with this guy? Because either he proves in 16 games he's your guy, or he's going to lose so many games that you're going to have another opportunity. Like, to me, it just makes all the sense in the world to play the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a case to be made for that, right? I mean, let's just throw him in the fire and, you know, Eli, we'll bite the bullet on Eli's salary, that sort of thing. I understand that. I also, I worry what happens if you go up against, what do they have, Dallas and Buffalo to start the season. I mean, realistically, those could be two of the 10 best defenses in the NFL. I'm not even kidding when I say that. I think Buffalo's got real good talent. Dallas last year, the speed at linebacker, they've got pass rushers, they've got talent in the secondary. Let's say Jones goes in there and just fails miserably, right? I mean, they show him some stuff he hasn't seen. He's not ready for the speed of the game. Big environment against Dallas. Do you then bench him and bring Eli back? It just creates a situation that's potentially awkward if he doesn't get off to a decent start. So, you know, it makes some sense. Every quarterback has a different timetable. I understand how, you know, we look at this thing from a contract standpoint and say, you know, the sooner you get them out there and the sooner they become the starter, the quicker you can get into that mode where you can capitalize financially speaking at other positions. I totally get that. But you also don't want to ruin a kid by throwing him in there too soon. I don't think he's the type to get crushed if he has a bad game or two, but it's also smart if the coaching staff and the front office are in lockstep. Okay, let's not rush this thing and regret it, you know, by the end of the year.
Talk, of course, with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. He's their lead draft analyst, also does a great job covering the NFL. And then the other quarterback in that game was Sam Darnold. The Jets kind of have some expectations this year. If they're going to reach those, it's going to be largely on his shoulders. He had some turnover problems last year. Had a drop pick on his first series. What'd you make of his play overall, though?
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone talks about the, you know, like, Jabril Peppers came over. You got to make those plays, my friend.
Yes.
But still, you know, if you're going to get traded for Odell Beckham, those are the kind of plays he's got to make. But obviously, it's early. They'll shake that off. And back to Darnold, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt that this is going to be a fascinating season. There are a lot of people around the league who really think he could take that proverbial jump and that he could be. You know, I thought when he returned to the starting lineup, he showed some real poise. And obviously, he won his first game and on the road and had some moments before that. But down the stretch, even with the injuries at receiver and everything else, and the lack of a playmaker in the backfield, kind of a patchwork offensive line, he did some really good things. And the more I kind of drilled down on him in that stretch in December and everything, I thought, this guy's a pro quarterback. He's got what it takes. And if you have a healthy Robbie Anderson, a healthy Quincy Enunwa, you know, if they get anything out of the tight end position once Chris Herndon's back, all of a sudden, the O-line isn't looking like a disastrous position. And, oh, by the way, Le'Veon Bell can really help out a young QB as that, you know, 65 to 70 catch guy plus running the football. Maybe they're not this awful offense anymore. I mean, they've been in the bottom 10 scoring-wise six of the last seven seasons. And I have a feeling they can reverse that and not be one of those, you know, three-and-out type offense we've seen so much lately.
You mentioned the Giants' week one opponent is the Dallas Cowboys. Zeke Elliott still involved in his holdout. It's been reported that Dak Prescott turned down a $30 million a year offer from the Cowboys. I mean, let's start right there. Did it surprise you to see that Dak is wanting even more money than that?
Yeah, I mean, you start hearing about the 40 per year numbers that are getting thrown out there for Patrick Mahomes, and you say, you know, if you're Dak and his agent, you're saying, well, wait a minute, hold on. Like, we're jumping by $10 million. You know, I mean, it took so long to get from 20 to 30, and now in 1 year we're going to get from, you know, or less than a year or whatever. So I think the leverage is certainly in the players' hands, in the sense that the Cowboys know they have that big three offensively with Amari Cooper, with Zeke, and with Dak. They have to get it done. You don't just give up on Dak Prescott at this stage. I know he's not the all-pro world beater that I think he wants to be, and that he looked like he could be after his rookie year, but he's your guy. I mean, you've invested in him, and yet Cooper, they trade the first-round pick. You can't let him go. You can't just let Zeke walk when you've sort of built the offense around him. I mean, he's really the centerpiece if you argue it that way. So, I mean, this is the spot they're in. They can talk up Tony Pollard all they want. I love the kid. I think he could be a nice complimentary piece. He's not stepping in and doing what Zeke does, you know, and taking that kind of load. So, it's going to be a real thorny couple of weeks here as we get closer to week one, and how they handle the short term and the long term is going to be crucial. But, you know, as much as we talk about Jerry and Stephen Jones, and I mean, really Adam Prasivka is their cap guy, and he's one of the wizards in the NFL that can make these things work. So how they can handle all the expectations and the demands from the players and also make this financially reasonable, that's going to be a crucial battle right now.
How much does Dak's contract affect the Zeke holdout? Because it almost feels like there is an order of operations, as you mentioned. And, you know, I feel like until they have certainty with Dak's contract, it makes sense to me why that they're kind of at the standstill with Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, same draft class, but as a first-round pick, you know, the Cowboys have that protection of offering him the fifth-year tender and then the franchise tag thereafter. So they really have an extra year to play with for Zeke. I mean, they can – you know, kind of hold his feet to the fire a little bit in the sense that he was a higher pick and thus is going to get more money in the short term. But, you know, in the long term, we know obviously Dak's going to probably make more money in this league, barring some disastrous injury or something like that. So, you know, he hits free agency a year earlier because of the four-year deal. It plays a different position. Yeah, they're inexorably tied. I mean, they're absolutely connected. And, you know, they might be friends off the field, but they understand this is business and that, you know, one has an effect on the other, and you can't go so deep on Zeke that you now can't sign Dak Prescott to a deal that's, you know, commensurate with the quarterback market. So it's very, very tricky. There's no question about it. They cannot let Amari Cooper go. I mean, that's the bottom line, even with some young talent at receiver. They know that's the factor too. So all three of them feel like they're kind of swirling around and tied together here.
Does it seem like to you that it's likely that Zeke is going to miss at least the early portion of the season with this holdout?
Two or three weeks ago, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that. But, yeah, I'm starting to feel like that's a real possibility and that, you know, he could report in week seven and, you know, still keep his year of eligibility. I don't think he'll handle it the way Le'Veon Bell did and sit out an entire year. Doesn't realistically make a ton of sense to do that. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely a possibility. And that's why you hear them sort of talking up their other backs as a way of saying like, oh, hey, you know, you may not get, okay, we know what the deal is. He's going to get his job back. But yeah, that's the real threat if you're a Cowboys fan is that, you know, he could miss a chunk of the season.
Talking with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. He's on Twitter at @Eric_Edholm. Is Antonio Brown really going to sit out because of a helmet?
Getting inside the head of Antonio Brown is not something I'm going to claim expertise over. Right,
that's a fair move.
Yeah, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. Now, I'm going to say realistically, probably no. Right, there's $31 million at stake here, and you know, you start. I mean, you're already off to a bad impression with your new employer. That's. There's no question that, first of all, tomorrow night, Hard Knocks is going to be must-see viewing. First, do they handle it properly and give it, you know, the full story? Are we going to get a little bit more on this thing? I certainly hope so. But the real-life version is, I mean, is he really going to do that? Is he going to be that guy and say, no, I want to play, but I can walk away at any point. I've got the power here. I don't know. I just know that John Gruden and the Raiders have to be feeling some level of regret. Sure, they didn't trade much for him, was it a third and a fifth, but they're committing a big chunk of their salary cap to giving Derek Carr a weapon in this offense, a reliable 10 targets a game or 15 targets a game, 10 catches a game, I mean, or 12, or 8 catches anyway. You know, that's kind of the deal. I mean, they thought they penciled in this guy for a big chunk of what they're trying to do. Now he's not out there. And it totally changes the dynamic of this thing. And, you know, from the Raiders' standpoint, they have to be sitting there saying, did we make a mistake? Or is this guy going to buy in at some point? Because right now I don't think they have a clear picture.
Talking, of course, with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. And then on to the local team of interest, the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota, I believe, played the first series. Then we saw a lot of Tannehill. I've been asking this question. I think this is the one. Do two injury-prone quarterbacks equal one healthy quarterback?
It at least gives you some options. But, yeah, I mean, that was the point that I brought up when the trade was made. It's, boy, there's some real similarities here. I mean, obviously, you know, you kind of look at their careers, top 10 picks, left a little something to be desired. You know, you saw what the Dolphins were willing to give up Tannehill for, which is next to nothing. Contract year, you know, flashpoint season for both guys and for the franchise. There's already been those rumors of, oh, hey, you know, if neither one of them work out, maybe Tom Brady's an option in 2020. I mean, you know, everything is at stake right now. And, you know, I had some people emailing me, hey, what, you know, this is one preseason game and Tannehill getting that much play. I mean, let's not read too much into it. Fair enough. I agree. We're not going to make a full-scale judgment of the whole position based on one game. But I will say, I think that leash is, you know, interestingly short. And they may want to see what they have in both guys this season and give Mariota the shot. If he holds up, if they get off to a good start against a tricky schedule, maybe he's the guy. Maybe we see brilliance from him, and maybe we see the same thing from Jameis Winston in Tampa. This is their time. They have to get it done. Perhaps they do. But if not, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see Mike Vrabel and company just say, thanks, Marcus. We've got to make a change here, and we've got to get rolling here. So absolutely going to be one of the fascinating quarterback situations in the league this year.
If both guys are at their best, who do you like more?
I would say Mariota, but we just haven't consistently seen it enough. I mean, obviously, he's been one of those playmakers where you say, all right, he's got something, but, you know, missing games every single season, you know, not having those prolific – I mean, it's just stats, but, I mean, he just hasn't been a prolific passer in this league so far, and haven't just seen enough of it yet. I would still probably take him, but, you know, Tannehill flashes too. There are moments where you say, geez, he can throw the ball. He's a really good athlete. He's got something. It just feels like both guys have had to have kind of streamlined systems to maximize their talent. It doesn't always work that way.
Tannehill's former team, the Dolphins, also have a quarterback, I guess, competition brewing right now. Fitzmagic reportedly has the early hold on the job. Rosen came in against the Falcons. First series, he looked really good. And then after that, there were some up and down moments, but that's kind of preseason football. If you're the Dolphins, how long are you really going to ride with Fitzmagic? Because I, like everyone, love it. I know the eternal flame burns out after like week three or four, but if you're also the Dolphins, don't you need to play Rosen and try and figure out what you have and what you don't? Otherwise, tank for Tua?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that ending up being the process they go through, and they have a tough schedule. I believe they have the week five bye. If I remember correctly,
the
they
worst.
Have the early. Yeah, and so, you know, would it stun me to see them go with Fitzpatrick the first quarter of the season and say, okay, thanks, Ryan. You know, we got to go to Josh at this point. Give us those remaining 12 games to figure out. You know, if we have a top five pick, as everybody is sort of projecting, look, they're not going to be a good football team this year. They won seven games last year. It was kind of a miracle that they did that. So it's hard to really know. Are they a three-win team? Are they a five-win team? Are they like last year? So, you know, that's the big question right there. But I don't think they'd hesitate to make a move into one of those top quarterback spots in next year's draft if they have any doubt whatsoever about whether Josh Rosen's the guy. They didn't pay a premium to get him, so it's a nice situation where they don't have to force him in there week one and get him, you know, behind a bad offensive line potentially and get him killed and then, you know, spit him out and try to figure out what the next plan is. So I think they're being kind of smart about this thing. And, you know, Josh is kind of in that Jared Goff situation where, you know, year one with Jeff Fisher looked terrible. I just thought, boy, I don't know if this guy's any good. Then year two, with the right coach, the right system, the right magic together, everything kind of developed. We'll see if they have that in Miami.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Ravens, Pats at home, at the Cowboys, Chargers at home. That's their first four. I mean, that's tough. That's
seeing where you are pretty early. You mentioned the Rams, and I get it. It's preseason. We don't. They were vanilla. Goff wasn't playing, but man, I just can't help but think the Rams offense consistently looks like it's in a funk, and you just keep wondering, is Gurley the engine that makes it all go to the point in which they almost looked inept without him? How much concern do you have for the Rams and their offense this year?
Yeah, there is an element of concern in the sense that, you know, last year, obviously Gurley, before he got hurt, was that engine. He was the kind of centerpiece that made that offense so good. It became a little muddied once he returned to the lineup and he was splitting with C.J. Anderson. It wasn't the same deal. Cooper Kupp was also out at that point. So, you know, a couple different variables going on here. They made a change on the offensive line too. But still, I mean, there's no doubt that there's a little bit of worry about that. And there's all these stories about he's good to go, but we've also got him on a sort of pitch count. He didn't play in the preseason last year either, so it wasn't like I'm terribly concerned at this point. But you hear enough. There's enough smoke out there that there's got to be some kind of fire. I don't think we're going to see the first 14 games of 2008 version of him this coming year. You know, so that applies to, you know, handicapping and the fantasy folks out there. Do I think Sean McVay is going to find some answers for this? Yes. I think Malcolm Brown is a pretty good player. You know, before he got hurt last year too, he had a couple moments in reserve. They drafted this kid, Daryl Henderson too, from Memphis. So I think it'd be really interesting too. So they at least have some bodies back there that you think, okay, maybe it's not a one-for-one swap, but they can be okay without him. And Kupp coming back too, I think, kind of brings those receiver group together as well.
And then lastly, college football right around the corner. Let's close here with the quarterbacks. The names, obviously, everyone knows with Trevor Lawrence and with Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert. Who are the guys that you really like the most, and what are you going to be watching for kind of as this season develops? What are kind of the top names that you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, all three of those guys have special traits too. You know, we're going to have to wait another year for Trevor. It's going to feel like an eternity. Obviously, he's not NFL eligible until 2021, but still, you know, just seeing the floor is as high as we've ever seen for a freshman. I mean, we've never seen a player come in like that. Does he let it get to his head? Does he not develop any further? Was it a fluke? Our defense is going to find ways to pick him apart. I don't know. But beyond those guys, there's some interesting quarterbacks out there. I mean, Jordan Love from Utah State. I know he's sort of the hot name right now, but I started watching him back in the spring and thinking, geez, this guy is pretty good. He's got the size. He plays at Wake Forest, at LSU. Big performances in those games or respectable ones. Kind of like the Michigan State game a year ago.
Yeah.
I think he might be a first-round pick if all goes well. So we'll see, but there's time on that. But he's one to watch. If you get a chance to see Utah State this year, they'll be on TV a couple times, and I think they're pretty good.
With Lawrence, last thing, I know everyone kind of freaked out about the national championship game, and he was awesome, but I found myself watching the game. It's like it's a bunch of one-on-one throws to the outside.
Yeah.
How much does that actually happen in the NFL? Because it doesn't seem to me like it's all that often.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's got to diversify his game. And I think, you know, Dabo Swinney, I think, deserves a ton of credit for designing that offense around his strengths, right? And Lawrence is a good athlete. They used the read option game with him a little bit, too. So it wasn't like they handed him an NFL playbook and said, all right, master this thing. You're going to be the starter in week four or whatever.
Right.
I mean, they gave him a slimmed-down version of it, but he's just got elite tools. And, by the way, T. Higgins and Justin Ross are two.
They ain't bad.
Oh, two of the 10 best receivers in the country. It's incredible. That offensive line is a beast. So they've got, you know, Travis Etienne. I mean, they're okay in the talent department, too. So it's nice to have that kind of really high platform for him to work under.
Eric, it's the best to be talking actual football with you, my man. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll hit you up soon.
That is Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. When we come back, Marvin Bagley III has withdrawn from Team USA. Does that open up a spot for Jaren Jackson Jr. in the FIBA World Championships? Also at 2 o'clock today, 2 o'clock local time, the NBA schedule will be released. We'll discuss all of this Grizzlies news and more with Chris Harrington when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's July. That means that your kids are going to be going before back to school before you know it. Also means, certainly in my instance, it means I'm going to be sending another kid off to college before I know it. So now is the time. Beat the rush. Now is the time to get over to Cooper Systems and make sure that your son or daughter has a laptop, a working, functional, speedy laptop, so they can flourish academically, whether it is in high school or in college. Seriously, at Cooper Systems, you can walk in there, get an Apple, get a Dell, get a Lenovo, get a Hewlett Packard. My son Andrew went in recently and got a MacBook Pro. He's off to college just in a few weeks, but I want to make sure he is well equipped. That's what they do at Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren Cooper make shopping easy. They also, by the way, make repairs easy. If you want to get something souped up before you go, go see Lee and Lauren Cooper for that as well. 360-9679, 360-9679 is the number. Or go visit them in the Mount Moriah office park.
Amy, what brings you into the Xfinity store?
I heard a drum roll. What's the big announcement?
It's the Xfinity best deal of the year on internet and TV.
That deserves better. Give me the sticks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.